Hello, this is Jeff Oswald at Concordia Seminary, back with you for another passage from the Book of Acts for lectionary at lunch. We're looking here at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, the first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter. The passage begins at verse 12, as we just mentioned, with the return to Jerusalem of the disciples of Jesus from the Mount of Olives, and then continues through the rest of the chapter with the election or selection of a replacement for Judas. Let's go ahead and look at the text and then make a few comments about how one might approach this as a text for preaching. In looking back on these weeks of Easter where we've been looking at sections of Acts, I've been surprised at times at the length of the passage, thinking perhaps they weren't even chosen really with preaching in mind, but simply to hear the story of Acts in certain of its episodes anyway, and reflect on them in this Easter season. This one too seems to be rather disjointed and a topic that you would not likely choose for the final sermon of the Easter season this year. And yet I think there are some real possibilities, especially in certain preaching situations, that this passage could be a very important text to proclaim. Let's start at verse 12 then and see what kind of things are included in this section of Acts. Tota hip estrepson eis Jerusalem apa orus tu kalumenu Elionas. So then, or after that, next, in terms of the story, they returned, went back to Jerusalem. And the plural subject of the verb, would be the Galilean men, the apostles of Jesus, that is, we'll see soon, the 11. Who were there as Jesus ascended to heaven. So these men return to Jerusalem. Notice the ace, to go to a place, apa, from a place. So apa arus to kalumenu elionas. And here we have from the mount. Notice no article there, but a mount. And then it's made definite by the one that is called the Olive Grove, or Olivet, the Mount of Olives, except this really is the singular of Elion, or Olive Grove, rather than the plural for the fruit, the mount sort of full of olives in the plural. And then Luke reminds us where this is. Ha esten ingus Jerusalem sabbatu echan hodon. Which is ingus here as near, really working as a preposition, which is near Jerusalem. And then here we have an idiomatic expression, having the way or the road, really the journey of a Sabbath. So here with echo describing a distance between two points journey of a Sabbath is the length of a trip one was allowed to make on the Sabbath day. So often used, cited with the equivalent of about 800 meters. So not far at all from the city of Jerusalem, and within easy walking distance then. Okay, so that's the opening scene in terms of location and action, but now Luke makes clear for us exactly who the people involved, who the players, the characters are. Verse 13, Kai hota eis eilthon, and when they entered, eis ta hippa roan an ebeson, hu eison kata menontes. And when they entered, that is the city, on Ebeson from Anabino, they went up into the Hippa Roan, the upper room. And this could be a large room, so to speak, under the roof, that is like an attic. Or it could possibly be a room that's been added on to a flat roof, so really on top of the house then, as an additional space to meet or live. They went to the upper room, who, that is, where Eson Katamenontes, where they were staying, could be dwelling. Barrett says that when you see the list of people, it's harder to imagine that they were actually staying there night and day. The Eson Katamenontes, the periphrastic imperfect, suggests continual action. Putting that all together, he suggests a meaning like they were habitually meeting there. We might say something like where they spent all their waking hours. But if they were feeling that this was a critical time and that persecution was possible, it's not impossible to think of them actually as dwelling there. So where they were staying, Ha Petros, notice that the Ha here takes the accent because it's followed by the enclitic te, but this is really simply the definite article with Peter. Now we have a list of those who were staying there. And we get a list of four connected by te and three chi's. And the English helps you see the grouping, not the English, but the Nestle Aland by adding punctuation. So you have, Peter along with John and Jakobas, it's James, and Andrew, comma, so that they form a group of four. And then Philippos, Kai, Thomas, Philip and Thomas are listed as a pair, as are Bartholomaios, Kai, Matthias, so Bartholomew and Matthew. And then we have the last three who are listed somewhat separately, perhaps because their names need to be qualified so they can be distinguished from other people who already have those names. Jakobas Alpheu, so James of Alpheus, probably most likely son. With the genitives, there's the possibility it could also be brother, but the more common way would be son. So James, the son of Alpheus, and Simon, the zealot, Zelotes. There's an interesting note in Fitzmyer that we have no real evidence that the zealot movement as such, that is, as an organized movement, was really in existence much before the revolt. And so he dates the beginning of the movement to 66 and then struggles to see how Simon could already be a zealot right after the resurrection. In the gospel, we have Simon, who was called a zealot, and it seems to me the easier solution is to see this not as a technical term describing a political movement. It may not even be political at all. But he was called a zealot probably because of a characteristic of his personality. Anyway, the name functions here to distinguish him from Simon Peter. And then finally, Jude of James, we'll see shortly that there are several people who share the name Jude or Judah, which is the same name in Greek, reflecting a common Hebrew name, but they are spelled differently in English, partly to distinguish them, and partly, I think, to emphasize the difference between someone like Judah the Patriarch and Judas Iscariot, even though the name is really the same. These are the 11 men who are returning from the mount where Jesus departed back to Jerusalem and staying in the upper room. 14 gives us some additional information about the setting. Houtoi pantes eson pros carteruntes hamathumidon. So these men were all, these all were pros Teruntes indicates a very persistent sort of devotion to something. Fitzmyer says it can almost be obstinance at certain points, and though not here in our literature, often is persistence in the face of persecution. So they persisted. Hamathymadon sort of etymologically means with the same passion, the same sort of strong desire for something. But it suggests the unity of mind or purpose with which the apostles were devoting themselves then to prayer. And along with them, Luke tells us, were gnaixin, that's the dative plural for women. There's a seemingly kind of an equal and non-resolvable divide here as to whether we should see this as the wives of the men who were just listed or as the women who were also part of this community of the followers of Jesus. On the one hand, without an article and following a list of men, it may seem more natural to take it as they were there along with their wives. On the other hand, if you read this as a continuation of the gospel, at the end of the gospel, you do have mention of women followers of Jesus who are not wives of apostles, and so it might just be women, although there you would expect perhaps the article, the women who are familiar to readers from the story. So it's difficult to decide, and it may be somewhat ambiguous because it included members of both of those categories. But then singled out so that we do know of their presence is also, so along with women or wives, and Mariam te maitri tu Jesu, Mary the mother of Jesus. This is the only place she is mentioned in Acts. Kai tois adelphois autu, and also the brothers of Jesus. Because they're distinguished from the apostles, brother here must mean they're the biological brother rather than brothers as a general term for Christians, the way we'll see it when Peter begins speaking. Okay, so that sets the scene. It gets us from the Mount of Olives back to Jerusalem and the upper room. Then verse 15, Kai en tais hemerais, tau tais. And in these days, that is in this period between the ascension and the next main event, which will be then Pentecost, this is what happened. Anastas Petros en meso ton adelphon apen, arising from anhistemi, this is very familiar. You get up to do something. Peter arose in the midst of the brothers, in the middle of the brothers. Apen, having arisen, he said, or he got up and said. Now, you expect the speech to begin immediately, but there's a small parenthesis added here, so you understand that this is an even larger crowd now than you might have gotten the impression of from the preceding verses. So, ein te aklos, and the crowd, onomaton, this is a rather unusual use for onoma, which normally we think of as name, here as people. So, it looks like it says, and a crowd of names, but here it seemingly means individual people. So there was a crowd of people, epi ta auta, that is in the same, supply a word for place, so it is really the equivalent of saying together, all together in that place, Jose hekaton ekusi. Jose gives an approximate measure with numbers, and here you have hekaton, which means 100. Remember, hekaton is the prefix for centurion, the century idea, ekousi, or ekousi, for 20, both indeclinable number words. Okay. So he got up to speak, and we might say, by the way, or just to let you know, There was a crowd of about 120 in that place. Okay. Now, verse 16, his speech begins. Andras Adelphoi. This seems rather redundant, but it's actually a typical Greek beginning for an address. And Barrett points out that it was so idiomatic that you even have paradoxical things like Andras Theoi in one of the Greek tragedies where someone is addressing the gods. Men gods rather than men brothers. And a few lines later, it's O Theoi. So it's clear that the speaker is really thinking of the gods. He's not thinking of divine humans or something like that. So the Andres here is a very stylized way to begin. The Adelphoi is really the significant relationship Peter has with those he's addressing. That is, they are fellow believers, brothers in that sense. Ede, plerothenai tein graphein. Ede is the imperfect of day, the word that denotes necessity. So it was necessary, followed by an accusative subject and then an infinitive. So tein graphein is our accusative subject. It was necessary that the scripture, and usually there's a specific passage in mind when you see that in the singular, plerothenai, the passive for aorist passive infinitive of plerao, to be fulfilled. So that it would be realized, it would come to pass. It was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled, hein, which, that is, which scripture, relative pronoun, proepen ta pneuma ta hagion, which the Holy Spirit, proepen, from used then as really an aorist for prolego, to speak beforehand, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand, diastomatos David, through the mouth of David, peri Yuda, so now concerning the subject, Yuda. And here you can see the spelling is the same as Judas up above, Judas Jacobu. This is the genitive singular form. So concerning Judas, tu genamenu hadegu tois syllabusen Jesun. So Judas, tu, the one who genamenu turned out to be, proved to be, became hadegu, the one who leads you, hegeomai, along the hados, that is a leader or a guide, who became the guide for those, a dative of advantage there, tois syllabusen, from syllambano, here in the sense of to take together in the sense of apprehending someone or arresting. So concerning Judas, the one who became or turned out to be the guide for those who arrested Jesus. 17, haughty, for, because kat erithme menos, you can hear the erithmeo in there to be numbered, because being ein kat erithme menos en hemin, because he was numbered, another imperfect periphrastic here, among us. He was belonged to our number. He counted as one of our group. And kai elaken, from langkano, with the gamma and the ki in the present. And he received, obtained, ton kleron, the portion, tes diakonias tautes, of this service or office. That is the very thing they had been commissioned to do as his witnesses. And you can think back to the words of Jesus right before his departure. Verse 18, then, houtos men un ek tesata chorion ek misthu tes adikias. This one, and Fitzmyer sees this as a derogatory use of houtos here and even translates it, the wretch. then ektesata, from kataomai, to acquire or get possession of something. So this guy, this one, acquired a chorion, a small plot of land, a field, ek misthu, from the reward or the pay of his adikias, either his unrighteousness or his crime. So with the money he got for betraying Jesus, for leading the arresters to Jesus, he purchased the small field. Kai and praenes genomenos. Again, a little bit unusual wording here, to become headlong, really falling headlong, praenes means, you know, head first. Elakezen, from lakao, to burst open, mesos, in the middle. So he burst open in the middle, kai ex ekuthe panta tas blankna autu. And all of his bowels, his internal organs, came gushing out. It has the idea of something pouring out quickly, usually with liquids, but here of internal organs, and again, a rather unpleasant picture of the end of Judas. There are several descriptions of Judas's death. The description of hanging and here of falling, but notice this doesn't actually say he died because of this, or this was the cause of his death. There are also some descriptions of Judas from sources out, Judas's death from sources outside the New Testament, which are much more grotesque and clearly trying to emphasize his wickedness in his betrayal of Jesus by the description of his condition. Luke is not concerned with settling the story of how Judas died. What's significant here is that this leaves a place open. But he retells the story in very simple detail so that the reader can understand why they need to choose a replacement. Okay, verse 19, kai gnostan egenita, and this became known, pasi tois kat oikousen Jerusalem. It became known to all those inhabiting Jerusalem. So, again, everyone in Jerusalem knew about this. Hosta kleithenai to korion ekeno, so that, remember, hosta gives the result, in this case the actual result, with an infinitive and an accusative subject. So everyone knew about it, and the result of that was that the field, that field that Judas had bought, was called, passive infinitive of kaleo, te idia dialecto auton, in their own dialect. This could be a language of a nation, or it could be the language of a region, even a city. Here the word is Aramaic, and that seems to be what he means by in their own dialect. Akel damach, which then he translates for us, tut estin chorion haematos. That is a field of blood. Exactly in what sense it's understood is still not clear, but it's connected both with the blood money that Judas received as a reward and his own seemingly bloody or violent, in that sense, death. Verse 20, then, gegraptai gar in biblio psalmon. For, it stands written, a perfect tense of grapho here, in biblio psalmon, in the book of Psalms, gene theto he epaulis autu eremos. Gene theto is the aorist passive and imperative of ginomai. So let this become, and the this is the epaulis, his residence, his homestead. Let his place, autu, that is his, Judas's, here's, that's how Peter's applying it anyway, become eremos, deserted, abandoned, empty, or desolate. So let his home, his place, become desolate, with the epaulis referring back to the chorion that Peter's been talking about. Kai me esto hoi kat oikon in aute. And remember that Greek often puts the negative on a different part of the sentence than we do in English, but word for word, and do not let there be a dweller in it. So we would tend to say, and let no one dwell or live in it. So this place is to remain desolate. Esto is the present imperative from ami, so it's simply to let this be, or let there not be anyone in it. Okay, and then a second quote, tain episkopein autu labeto heteros. Here, this could be episcopacy, but his overseeing, his responsibility, his position or assignment certainly is not a technical term, either in the psalm or when Peter uses it. Let his responsibility, his position, even his assignment, labeto, the aorist, again, imperative of lambano, let heteros, another one, take it. Let another man receive his position. Continuing in verse 21, de un ton sin elphon ton hemin andron, en panti chrono ho es eilthen kai ex eilthen f humas ha kyrios Jesus. It is necessary, therefore, that of those, now the sentence is a fairly long and complicated one, but the cases here help you fit it together, even though the word order might require some shuffling to smooth it out into good English afterwards. So it is necessary, therefore, of those sun el phanton, traveling with us, going with us, the men, andron, among us, hemin, the apostles, and panti chrono, so in the whole time, in the entire period, in which eis eilthen kai ex eilthen f himas, in which the Lord Jesus, at the very end of the verse, went in and out among us. So the whole time he was with us. Arxamenos, now more carefully defined by Peter, arxamenos apa, beginning from, still defining what time, to baptismatos Ioannou, from the baptism of John, heos, tes hemeras, heis analemphthe auf af hemon. So from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. Here a reference, of course, to his ascension. Martyra, a witness of Anastasios autu, a witness of his resurrection with us, genesthai henna tuton. So here finally is the infinitive to go with day at the beginning of verse 21. And here also is our accusative subject. It is necessary that one of these, a witness of the resurrection with us, one of these also then among the number of those who were with us, and so on back from 21 forward then. So it is necessary for one to become one of these. So one of those who traveled with us to become the replacement for Judas among the number of the apostles. Chi esteson duo. Esteson is the first aorist active from histemi, so here it means to stand in a transitive sense, to sort of put forward nominate, to propose someone for this office that Peter says needs to be filled. So essentially, this is nominating two men who met the qualifications. So they were Yosef ton kalubanon bar saban hos epiklethe Eustis. So Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, but whose surname was Eustis, and Matthion, probably a shorter form of Mattathias, the famous Maccabean hero. So these two qualified as witnesses of the resurrection who'd been with the apostles the whole period of Jesus' ministry from the baptism of John to the ascension. Verse 24 then, Kai prosuksamenoi apon, and praying they said, and here the aorist participle doesn't have to be action before that of the main verb, but here just suggests that in their course of their prayers, this is what they said, since what's reported is actually a prayer. Su kyrie kardiagnosta panton. You, Lord, are the knower of the hearts of all. That word there, kardiagnosta, is used only in Christian writers, and it's used of God as the one who knows hearts, and here the hearts of all. So you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, anadexon hon ex alexo ek tuton ton dua henna. Anadeknemi here means to show something clearly, to reveal something that's not visible. And this is the aorist imperative. And again, in the language of prayer, this isn't giving God a command, but it's an impassioned plea that God reveal hon, show forth whom ex alexo from ex ek legomai. This is the aorist middle, second person singular. Remember that unusual ending there in the aorist middle. Show which one you chose of these two, ek tu ton ton dua, which one you chose of these two. And then continuing in verse 25, labain ton tapon tes diakonias tautes, to receive the place of this service, that is the place vacated. Kai apostoles af heis par ebe Judas poruthenai es ton tapon ton idion. So to receive the place of this service, and apostoles, the office of apostle, the apostleship, off haste, from which Judas par ebe, par abino, turned aside, and here the to go, the infinitive of purpose from paruomai, to go eis ton tapon ton idion. So he vacated the place in one sense that the Lord had provided for him as an apostle, and went to his own place, a place of his own choosing. 26, kai edokan klerus autois. So here you have didomi with forecasting lots, and this is not the usual word. It's usually balo for throwing the lots. So most assume it's just an unusual way of saying they cast lots to decide the question, but it could actually refer to some other method they used indicate a man while letting God then reveal his will through that method. then the autois can either be part of that idiom as an indirect object, sort of they gave the lots to them, or it can be a dative of advantage, that they cast lots for them for the sake of deciding which of them would be chosen. Kai epazin ha kleros epi Matthian. So the lot fell upon Matthew, or Matthias, that is, it revealed Matthias as the choice. However, the lots did that isn't important. Kai sing kata psephisthe meta ton hendeka apostolon. So, and he was something. You can see the third singular aorist passive ending there. This is from sing kata psephidzomai, to be chosen together with someone, or having been chosen to be added to the membership of a group. So he is chosen, and here you have meta ton hindeka. So he's chosen with the 11 apostolon apostles, thus restoring the number to 12. There are several interesting things about this passage in its place in Luke's second book. It connects, as we mentioned before, the ascension to the Pentecost events that will follow, but it shows that important things have happened, changes in the situation of the apostles. Never before has anyone stood up and spoken like this, addressing the group, interpreting the things that have happened by means of using scripture passages, except for Jesus himself. So when Peter stands up and does this, he is speaking the way Jesus had spoken to them before. And they choose one to replace Judas, restoring the number to 12. They will continue as that new Israel that Jesus gathered around himself. If it were just a practical matter, you would think, well, they had two men qualified and they needed all the help they could get. Why wouldn't they let anyone join their number? And yet it seems important to them to restore the number to 12 as the Lord had first chosen them. Of course, in our church year, this also connects our preaching concerning Jesus' ascension with what will follow then after Easter, the Pentecost, the great 50th day. And so it can certainly serve that function in preaching as well. It struck me, though, in thinking a little bit more about this, to recall the situation of the Christian community at this time, having just, well, I was going to say weathered a terrible storm, but actually it's much worse than that. Having completely failed their Lord, then they have the promise of their reconstitution by Jesus himself as he gathers them again and gives them this commission. They ask, having failed you so miserably, do we, your people, still have any role in the coming of your kingdom? And Jesus responds with, times and so on are not his to say, but they will be his witnesses, and they will be receive the power from on high, the gift of the Spirit. Having their minds opened to understand the scriptures by Jesus, having been given by him a picture of his kingdom and what that means and entails, they now wait but prepare for the coming of the Spirit by restoring their number to the full 12. It seems to me there would be some very valuable applications in this passage for any Christian community that's suffered either failure or tragedy or loss, and to see the strength, the power of God, the ongoing presence of Jesus through his Spirit to renew and restore, so that the church, despite failure, despite lack, despite misunderstanding and even unbelief at times, Jesus draws us all together into his word, through his word, to proclaim the message of forgiveness, repentance, and forgiveness in his name. So we see this very young church responding to their own failure on the strength of the word of Jesus, and preparing then to receive the promise and to take their part in his work of redeeming the world, in bringing to fulfillment his kingdom. I think we will stop there. We have one more reading from Acts to look at, the reading for Pentecost, and I look forward to being with you again for that next time. Thank you.